Working. Everybody, nice to see you all from this side. Tonight we will start with a chant. And the chant, the name we are chanting is Yu. H-U. I'll explain how we will do it. Who is one of the names of God? It's our source, our absolute nature. And in this chant, we want to call out from our heart to our nature, to our absolute nature. And the way we're going to do it is, before we do it, you will take a deep breath, and then on the breath, on the exhale, let the sound, whoo, come out in whatever way it wants to come out. Can be loud, can be soft, it doesn't matter. And you don't have to be in tune with everybody else. You can have a high pitch or low pitch. We don't have to have all the same sound. So really let yourself feel and tune in to what's your sound tonight of calling out from your heart to your absolute nature, which is the absolute nature of everything. So we will do that for about maybe 12, 14 minutes. Then I will ring the bell, and then we will continue into our belly meditation that we practiced already before, last night and this morning. Focus our awareness on our breath in our belly. And then I'll ring again, and then that will be the end of the meditation. Yeah? Okay, so first of all, let yourself really sit upright. Be present. Present to yourself. And then you can take a deep breath. yourself be aware of the breath and the movement of the breath in your belly. As our focus. And every time you find yourself wandering around in your thoughts, gently bring yourself back to be aware of the movement of the breath in your belly. Sensing into that movement. I'm going to start tonight with a poem. It's again a poem by Hafiz from the book The Gift. And this poem is also called So Many Gifts. There are so many gifts still unopened from your birthday. There are so many handcrafted presents that have been sent to you by God. The beloved doesn't mind repeating, "Everything I have is also yours." Please forgive Hafiz and a friend if we break into a sweet laughter when your heart complains of being thirsty, when ages ago every cell in your soul capsized forever into this infinite golden sea. Indeed, a lover's pain is like holding one's breath too long in the middle of a vital performance, in the middle of one of creation's favorite songs. Indeed, a lover's pain is this sleeping, when God just rolled over and gave you such a big good morning kiss. There are so many gifts, my dear, still unopened from your birthday. Oh, there are so many hand-crafted presents that have been sent to your life from God. Being is truly mysterious and is a constant outflow, a constant flow of potential that's manifesting in all forms, manifest forms, but also in our trees, in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our emotions, in our experiences. And the potential is infinite, it's limitless. To nature or being or whatever you respond to as a name is so open. It reveals all its gifts to us. It's gifts to, not even to us, just its gift. It's just pouring out, manifesting, flowing out as an infinite flow of potential. And yet we often don't notice it. Maybe we notice it when we see something very beautiful or something touching, and we notice there's something precious, for instance, around a child or something, or a tree or a flower. Or sometimes we have, out of the blue, an amazing experience. We didn't know where it came from. That may be the moments that we are open to the present of true nature, of our being. But are we awake to the possibility of gifts opening up in our everyday familiar experiences? Are we willing to be wakened up by the kiss of the divine? And not assuming that we know what we experience. We believe often that we know, oh, I'm sad because of this and that. I know what I'm sad of, but are we willing to be open to look into our sadness from an experiential feeling, opening the door, being curious, what's in there? Beyond what we already know, the story that we already know and have told ourselves so many times. So, in a way, all of you are open to the revelation, otherwise you wouldn't be here. The revelation of the potential that's part of your birthday gifts, the presence that's there in stock for you. You came here because you're curious. You want to expand your potential. You want to open up. True nature is unbounded openness, infinite. That's why we say that in this journey we don't have an end goal. Rob mentioned that last night. This is an open-ended journey. There's no arrival point. Because the moment we think we have arrived somewhere, we're already closing down our potential. So it's open-ended, which is a reflection of our true nature, the openness of true nature. And it's not only a reflection, we are that openness. We are the same openness, unbounded, limitless potential. However often, we don't realize that. We think we better trust our beliefs, the familiar. But are we open-minded to the possibility that I'm, for instance, not only a kid that's frustrated, a six-year-old that's frustrated, but am I also open to the possibility that if I really sense into my frustration, that I may become a volcano with hot boiling lava inside? Am I open to the possibility that I'm not this shy person that I know myself to be for 40, 50 years, but I'm also a solid mountain, a rock, very present? Am I open to experience myself beyond what I believe myself to be, beyond what I believe is possible for me to experience? We have many assumptions. If I open up to my anger, I will hit everything, I will hit everybody, and I better push it down, for instance. People can't handle me if I'm really angry. Am I open to question that belief? Meaning we don't have to act out our feelings, but really, can I stay present to it? What if I open myself up to not knowing what will happen in the next moment, for instance. Not having a clue. That can be quite scary, but maybe it's not so bad as I assume that it is. So in order for us to reconnect with our open nature, that is boundless, infinite spaciousness, we need to have an open mind. We need to be open-minded, meaning open to all possibilities, all experiences, all sensations, without believing this is a good one or that's a bad one, without having a preference for this over that, without believing that I know what is a real good experience. We need to open up that everything, anything is possible for us. Even what's unimaginable, what our minds really cannot think of, even. If we have the courage to question our beliefs, something deeper may open up that's beyond the familiar, beyond what we already know. Our ego self is a very closed system. It's looping around and around, and it has maybe shifts a little bit here and there. Maybe I was never able to feel my hurt, and now I feel hurt. But it's still in some kind of a range. I remember Hamid once saying that we are all, as ego cells, we are all in a jail. And we work on ourselves, and our jail gets a little bit more beautiful maybe, or maybe a little more spacious. We have other nice wallpaper on in the walls. Maybe we have a nice chair now to hang out in. Even a mobile in our cell. But still, it's a jail. So we are all here because we want to, somehow we feel that, and we want to be free. And that freedom is our potential. So the question is, how to get out of that jail? Well, in the Diamond Approach, the key out of that jail is a very paradoxical one. It's a different one than you believe probably it is. You assume it is. The key out of this jail, from the perspective of the Diamond Approach, is that we will get out by getting in. Meaning, the more we try to get out, the more we stay in the same loop. We're still fighting something from a familiar perspective. But if we go in, if we experience how much we are closed, constricted, limited, if we are open to our closedness, in other words, that's the key that will ultimately set us free. So that means that we need to allow what's happening in our experience. We need to be open to what's here in us, in our sensation, in our immediate experience, our feelings, our thoughts. We need to be open and present and allow whatever that is. Even if we believe it's a negative feeling, for instance, hatred is often thought of as a very bad feeling. But what if I experience it? What if I really feel, ugh, I hate this or that? Now, this is not a license to act out your hatred. That's not what we are advocating in the Diamond Approach. What we support is to let yourself feel your hatred, your anger, your hurt, your sadness, your hopelessness, your emptiness, your deficient feelings, your disappointments. To really be in touch with them. And to start to trust that we don't need to stay closed off now. Close down. Close ourselves down. To begin to be present to whatever the gift is in this moment that's still unopened. What if we open it up by staying present and curious and willing and allowing to see what's in that package, what's in my sadness, what's in the vulnerability, the shyness? What's in there? So in other words, if we don't go with along with our beliefs, our assumptions, that it's scary to open up that presence. I've put it away, I've stored it away, and that's a real good place. Now, it's not in my face, I don't have to deal with it. So this was, at some point in our histories, a very wise thing. We believed that we couldn't be open and allow everything when we were young infants. So we learned somehow along in our life to close down on our openness, to restrict our openness, to allow only this much or that much. Or maybe this much, but not all. As infants, we are very tender, we are very delicate. Especially young babies are very open, very impressionable also, malleable. They're impacted by everything, but also they're so open to what their inner experience is. One moment they have the giggles and they're joyful and playful. Next moment there's a discomfort. Maybe they're aware suddenly of their empty stomach. And then the next moment they feel playful again, or they have fun playing with their own genitals, for instance, very innocent. Next moment, there's an empty stomach, or there's a wet nappy, and they're crying. So their experience, or our experience as we are young, is shifting moment to moment. We see it very vividly in children. Now, as young children, also our nervous system is very sensitive, So we are open not only to our own inner feelings, responding to them, but also to what is around us, what's in the fields. We are open to, for instance, the lack of attunement of our mothers, how she handles us in a maybe mechanical way, as if we are some object. We are also open to mother's harshness, to smells of smoke or alcohol. We are open to noises, loud noises, of fights, quarrels between mom and dad, other siblings. We are open to the tension that's in our family field. And as we are young, we really don't have any guidelines how to be with that. We don't know. How can we handle that? We just openness. So one way that we had, that was available for us at that time, is to shut out what was uncomfortable, unpleasurable, unpleasant for us. Because we couldn't cope with it. So we shut out the noise by contracting, for instance. We shut out what was felt not allowed to be for us, our expression. Maybe our anger wasn't allowed. Maybe our sadness wasn't allowed. Maybe every time you were sad as a child, you felt you were burdening your mom. And she had already so many kids or so many problems. So we started to close down our experience, both our inner experience, what's living inside, our feelings, our expressions of ourselves, and also we closed down from what was disruptive in the field, that we didn't know how to handle, that was too overwhelming for us at that time, too much. We couldn't handle it. Our sensitive nervous system just couldn't handle it. So that's how we learned to cope with what was around us and with our own feelings. Some feelings we felt were allowed, others were not, or were not responded to. Maybe your crying for your empty stomach, for food, was not responded to. And maybe you started at some point to give up. That's very natural. It costs just too much energy to keep crying. So that's another way to close down our feelings of our emptiness, our empty stomach, our wanting, our neediness. So in this process, what happens is that we needed to close down because it was very crucial that we felt safe and survived, not only physically, but also emotionally. But in that process, in an unconscious way, our consciousness got closed down, got more contracted, less spacious, less open, more clunky, more dense. So the walls that were originally there, that somehow very mysteriously infants know about, you know, that we can protect ourselves by shutting out, by closing down. Those walls that were there originally to protect us from what was coming at us or what was unsafe to express eventually became our own inner walls. that now we start to, we still actually, these walls protect us against what we still believe is unsafe. What we still believe we need to protect from. What we still believe, and not only believe, actually many of us have very deep-rooted convictions from our history that this is how it is and it's, it should be. That we, you know, we know now how much we can express ourselves, how much is possible for our hearts to be open, for our minds to be open, for our bodies to be open. So in other words, openness became synonymous for us with vulnerability. Vulnerability meaning we are vulnerable to hurt, to punishment, to devaluation, to rejection, to lose the love, if we open up. That's our belief. Even now we are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, we still have these beliefs. We're so identified with these beliefs that it's dangerous to be vulnerable, to open up. So we need to question these beliefs in order for us to reconnect to the openness of our being. Is this true? Is it really dangerous? Will somebody really punish us now? Will we lose the love now if we are open up to the hurt, the anger, the hatred? But also to our sweetness, our love. Sometimes we believe that we can't be sweet. People think we will be weak, maybe. We can't be joyful because people will maybe think that we are superficial. So we have all these beliefs that we really need to open up to. In order to open up to who we really are, that openness, that potential, to open the gifts that are there, that are in every moment as we are present to what is here, what we are experiencing. So, therefore, we need to be open and willing to look into our defenses, in our resistances, in our no's, and really take them serious. We don't want you to skip over that, jump over those feelings. Opening and allowing, being open to everything and allowing everything means including your resistances, your rejections. Maybe also open to your judgments, meaning you don't need to act them out and voice them, but really let yourself be aware. I reject this or that, or him or her. Feel that rejection. Feel how you're closing off in a certain way. Being present. So we have many strategies how we close down, how we protect ourselves from opening up. Sometimes we stop breathing, for instance, as we feel that something very scary is coming up, surfacing. We start to stop breathing. We get very heady at times in our minds, telling ourselves stories. Sometimes we tighten up, we tense up, contract. It's another way of protecting. We have the possibility to protect ourselves also by projecting our own feelings into others. So we don't have to feel them. Oh, she must be very angry at me. Not really feeling where you are, what's happening inside you. So there are many strategies, many ways that we protect ourselves from opening up. And we want to take a closer look into that tonight. Another way that we protect ourselves from feeling what's actually here is pushing ourselves in a certain direction to a state that we believe is better than what we actually are experiencing. Or jumping over certain feelings. Maybe you jump over your fear. So we want to start to become aware of how we are not open, how we protect ourselves. And we will do that by a repeating question, like this morning. And remember, we do this exercise in twos. I'm taking this from Tejo, Mr. Jones, and Mrs. Apple. And this time, Mrs. Apple asks the question first to Mr. Jones. And the first question is, tell me a way you resist openness. And Mr. Jones senses himself and says, I don't like this question at all. Thank you. Tell me a way you resist openness. I think it's a very bad idea to be open. I'm in my head. I know what I'm supposed to feel. Thank you. So on and on. So after 10 minutes, Mr. Jones' turn to ask Mrs. Apple. And then the second question, Mrs. Apple again. What's right about not allowing your experience? What's right about not allowing your experience? Mr. Jones, well, I'll be too vulnerable. I don't know these people. They may think I'm weak. Thank you. What's right about not allowing your experience? Oh, I will be so angry. I could slap somebody in the face. Thank you. On and on. And then Mr. Jones again. And then you go to the third question. And the third question is, how do you experience openness? How do you experience openness? So, Mrs. Apple, how do you experience openness? Now you ask me, I suddenly see you in a different way. Thank you. How do you experience openness? I feel very relaxed and spacious. Thank you. Well, whatever comes up can also be, how do you experience openness? I feel how frustrated I am right now. Thank you. And then you reverse again. So are there any questions about the exercise? No? Clear? Yeah? Yeah. Exactly. That's that way. Yeah. You do it with a different partner now. Yeah. And again, don't change the question, please. And we will be back here in 1 hour and 5 minutes. Yeah. So, how was it for you? Yes? I'm curious what you found out here. Yeah. Can you say your name,
yes,
please, so that we really get to know
I'm
each
Inger.
Other?
Inger. I'm from Norway.
Yeah.
I felt the two first questions very difficult, especially the second one. And I felt I got into position like being a little girl. And in my answer, I noticed that I use they as my parents. I saw my parents, but they didn't like they.
Uh-huh.
That was very it was very. It was very quickly. It came back to.
Uh-huh. So what they
little
didn't
girl.
Like.
Pardon.
What they didn't like. What.
How they.
What
I used
they
found
right.
And they were my parents.
Right.
That's. I didn't like it. Also. Well, I felt. I felt it in my stomach. Yeah.
How was it for you to see that? That your parents came up in that question.
It's. Yes, it's been confusing.
Confusing.
I got confused.
Uh-huh.
Because I could like. I thought maybe I would use other protection, protect other persons, but they were my parents, very clearly. For
yeah.
Me.
Well, our parents mostly got, you know, gave us certain messages.
Yes. So messages.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Right.
So that was.
So it's
very strong for me. This last one I like much more because that's more me growing up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Right. So it sounds like in the second question, particularly, not only you saw your parents, but also you saw the child in you,
yeah,
that believed they were right.
Yes.
That was right. Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Thank you. Can you wait for the microphone, please? And can you please say your name
yeah,
also?
Thomas.
Thomas. Yeah.
What's the difference between openness and presence?
Good question. Yeah. So in openness, we can also be open to our egoic experiences, like being open to how closed we are. We can open to our hatred, and when we are present. To really sense into our hatred, for instance, or anger, or joy, whatever it is, then things can open up to reveal the presence that's in the feeling, mm-hmm. in the experience.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes sense, yeah.
To you?
Yeah, but I have to think, it must sink down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's a good question. Mm. Yeah. What did you find out about the question? What, how did it come up for you?
There was a certain similitude between when I answered to the third question. So
yeah.
the situation of openness yeah. resembled very much to the situations of presence I described.
I see.
Yeah, this morning.
Right. Yeah. So that can happen, but you can also experience your openness to your resistance, for instance.
Mm. Mm.
Right? Mm. Okay?
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Wolfgang. But then is it the same to be open as to be aware? So the same thing,
yeah.
can be more distance to it, and it's not going into it. That sounds to me like being open and being aware of is the same thing.
Yes, but being aware can still be distant, as you say. Being open can also be open to the immediacy of the experience, for instance. So let's say again, frustration. I feel frustrated. To be open is, to be aware is, I'm aware that I am frustrated. To open up to it is, okay, I'm really here with the frustration itself. And then it goes and ties into being present in it. It's not presence yet, but it can reveal, the presence can be revealed. The more present you are in the frustration, really feel the immediacy, things may transform.
All right.
Shift. Change. All because
right.
it doesn't stay static. True nature is also always changing. So frustration, as we stay with that example, can shift into bubbly, fiery heat that I'm now present to and feel in my body.
Yeah, if I think about it, it's not clear to me, the differentiation.
Yeah.
But I started with a question, the same question you asked,
mm-hmm.
and while answering, it developed into something new. It was not a repetition of what I said this morning. So obviously there must be a difference, but I don't understand it yet.
Well,
but that's okay,
are you willing to make it a little bit more explicit? Maybe.
Well, I can't differentiate the concept.
Well, your experience.
But the experience is...
was fresh, you said.
Is fresh and different to... so.
To what you were feeling this morning, experiencing
yeah,
this
right.
morning. Yeah?
So I wouldn't mind not having the concept.
Okay.
But the experience is all right with me, so...
Okay. Yeah. So maybe it will reveal itself to
maybe.
You. Right,
maybe.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
The same is for you.
Experience was completely different.
Completely different, right. Yeah. Okay, good.
My name is Malte. I was kind of facing frustration and boredom because I think with every question I came to the point where I felt like I'm just repeating what I already know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought inquiry is a method where you that allows you to go deeper or to access some
mm-hmm.
knowledge you don't know
mm-hmm.
before. And but I didn't know how to get deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I'm just repeating what I know already.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear how the third question went for you. While you were being frustrated?
I think the same. Also, it's, well, I could say how I experienced openness.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I've said already what I know. and nothing new was coming up, and I could just stay with the answer I've given already.
So you felt bored?
Yes.
And were you open to feel bored? To the boredom?
Not all the time, I think.
Not all the time, yeah.
I was also kind of closing down.
Closing down, right, yeah. Yeah, so there's a way in, you know, to stay open, to be open to how bored you are. I'm bored, thank you very much. And then maybe you say it even 5 times. But maybe at some point when you really stay present to the question, something may change. So, and this is actually what I'm going to say for everybody. In order to, when we do this repeating question, it's really good to let yourself be spontaneous, to not think too much about the question, let it really come from, you know, deep down, spontaneous, whatever it is, if it doesn't make sense, doesn't matter. So that's a way to get, you know, to be open actually to what is cooking there somewhere, what's somewhere there and it's not conceptual yet in your mind. So that's for future repeating questions for everybody, really supportive.
Yeah. Okay, so not so much thinking about the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, I tried this once and there was just nonsense coming up.
Okay,
just
good.
Just allow this.
Good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so trust the nonsense.
Okay.
And then go, take it from there. Really let yourself move into the whatever reveals itself.
Okay.
Because what we are interested in is, and you too, you know, that what you're not knowing yet.
Yes.
So that already indicates it's beyond our minds.
Okay.
So let the depth, the unconsciousness come up.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
How are you feeling now?
Curious.
Yeah, I can see. Not bored. Yeah, I can see. Nice.
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, my name is Ingo, and it was really a good experience with several steps. I think with the first questions, I got the experience how many structures I have to resist, and it has gone step by step. And for the third question, it was kind of a wonderful experience. It was kind of, how could I know what I think before I hear what I say?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of this. And first I thought, I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah. So take your time. Really.
First I thought openness is the state of when I'm in storytelling mode or something else.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of really be very open, and the better one I thought is when I'm try to get in the listener mode and to be open in listening to another person. And my most powerful experience, at least, were I'm open with myself telling about what I think or what my structures are, and have a person on the other side who's getting me to know that everything is okay, what I say, no judgment, mm-hmm. Kind of Verurteilung.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
Yeah, that I like the most. Yeah,
that you like the most. And what's here now for you? What are you experiencing now?
I'm lucky to get this to know, to get through the through such modes. mm-hmm. of being, and to share it with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good
yeah.
step.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Yeah.
My name is Elena. For me, it was like giving me a bit of an ease, because I really felt close and angry before. And somehow for me, it's a little bit like Malte described it. I was really getting more and more in resistance and frustration throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really became angry, and then I became so angry at these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially the second question was like, it doesn't make sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can I not allow my experiences is bullshit? It's like, I don't have any way mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, on the other hand, it's also like, I feel like I mean, it was good to have an opportunity to talk to someone else and say, like, how all I feel, I shut up myself right now, and what I think and how I judge. And but I was very aware of that before.
Mm-hmm.
And for me in the moment, it's like when I let myself feel this, I become so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know my longing for, and I know how it feels like when I'm more open and I can trust and I feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I don't feel safe in the moment here a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you guys are doing here? It's like it's this big group and you start in a fast speed like this. And
mm-hmm.
it's like... Yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel safe.
Mm-hmm. So how is it to voice that, to share that with all of us?
It feels like a try.
A try?
I don't know exactly how it feels like. I know that probably... afterwards, I can feel it better okay. how it feels like than in okay. the moment.
Well, I experience you as very open in this moment, sharing yeah. that with us.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's like... It's because I want to be here. I don't want to,
right.
like,
right.
pack my bag and leave.
Right, right. Yeah, so you have the courage to speak up, that you don't feel safe.
Yeah. yeah.
Which I appreciate that you share that you bring that in, that you... Yeah. So if you let yourself take a moment right now and see how is it now for you, what's here now? Are you still frustrated and angry, or is there something else here now?
It moves more towards the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very known, deep sadness. But at the same time, right now, it feels like warmer inside of me.
Like, warmer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Anything else you want to add?
Not for the moment, thanks.
Mm. Thank you.
My name is Antje. What came up during the exercise was a problem. I experienced it as a problem I often have with experiencing intense emotions, and it's that I'm experiencing that is those emotions, they doesn't change, they stay the same. I try to be open, mm-hmm. and they just stay the same, and it's like driving into a one-way street, and actually at some point it doesn't feel open anymore, but tensed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I'm doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is really no right or wrong way. But what we are learning is how to optimize the unfoldment, right? So it sounds like you are coming in some kind of repetition, is that right? Is this still working?
Yes. Somehow.
Some kind of repetition.
Yes.
Yeah, so what I'm wondering if about, or let me say it like this, what's really helpful is when that happens to go, to let yourself really become aware what's actually happening right now. So not something that you know about yourself so much, but what's actually here right now. Like what we said, I feel frustrated, I feel bored. And see what happens if you let yourself go to open up to whatever is here happening for you now. I feel stuck, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. You know, and then what's right about, I don't know what question you are actually, are you talking about one of the first questions? Or the second, the third question?
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, so it's more in a general. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So I would say the same, suggest the same thing, like be spontaneous, include what's happening here for you right now, and that can be anything. I'm bored, I'm angry, I want you to shut up, you know, and this is not personal to the person who asks you, but it's just your response to what's happening.
Yes, but it was I was remembering those
right,
those experiences that's what I mean. Have when I'm inquiring on my own.
Yes, right. So that's what I mean.
Yes.
So I should suggest that you, in these kind of situations, I'm not talking about inquiries
yeah.
at the moment, but in the repeating question, let yourself be spontaneous.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And we will talk more about inquiry anyway. So let's see how that addresses your question, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Frank. What I experienced that with the first two questions, I felt small. But what I normally had is that I also felt afraid. But this time, I felt compassion for the for the child. Normally, I have a very strong judge. But now I could feel compassion and also at the same time something about that I was wondering how could my parents not let me be open or ask questions to me.
Yeah.
So
what happens as you say that?
Hmm?
What happens as you say that? right now, in this moment?
Yeah, it a little bit frees my judge.
Uh-huh.
That I, I can say that with respect to my parents, not that I judge them.
No.
Or, and that feels that I'm not fueling my judge anymore.
Right. So it's a real open question. How come they didn't see my, or couldn't respond
my struggle to my, and
right.
things like that? And that made me to the third question.
Yeah.
With the first two, I thought, what the hell is happening? Is 10 minutes looks like 15 minutes, looks like 30 minutes. But the third question, I couldn't stop.
Hmm.
And I felt bigger. And I also could feel the openness happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And
there meaning in being bigger?
In the moment, here.
In the moment, right, yeah.
And also could feel at the same time the little boy and myself.
Uh-huh, your adult self.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. Sounds very nice.
It was.
More potential opening up, right? Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Eric. Firstly, what strikes me is that there are so many different situations where people project the subject of openness on. That was quite interesting to observe.
You mean the people here?
Yes. Now in the
what you heard
in the reaction.
But now, I don't get how you mean project.
Or well,
what do you mean?
I mean to say taking. In your mind, as an example, a situation where openness in this context plays a role. So that was only an observation, and I restrict myself to, let's say, the day-to-day interactions with people and conversations I have. And as much as Ingo said that a few interventions ago, you're astonished, or I was astonished by the amount of barriers I have. Against being open, or barriers to openness, I have, and some of them are pretty functional sometimes, and most of them are nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that you have so many barriers, it also tells you that it's totally unique if there would all of a sudden be openness. I have the impression that it needs to be conquered in a way that.
Mm-hmm.
These barriers have to be removed first. If you interact with people you don't know or people you do not know very well, then there are almost automatically barriers in place. So you need to really conquer openness, and for that you need respect and trust. So it's something that can never be there in the beginning, in my feeling. That was really an insight I had during the repeating questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have marked for myself that if I reach the point where I have the feeling that I have a good open conversation, I will invite the other party to jointly celebrate that we have a good open conversation, because it's quite unique.
Mm-hmm. I'm letting in what you're saying.
Pardon?
I'm taking in what you're saying. And I wonder how it is for you just to contemplate, I'm not saying to do it, but to contemplate the possibility that it may be open to be open when you don't know somebody.
Well, like I said, I find it would be very unique if total openness would be there from the very
beginning. That's now. That's where you are now. But
okay.
If you don't make that, that's a conviction to how it will always be for you.
Yeah.
And be open-minded to maybe that's a conviction or belief I have, and what if that's not true? Let's find out. Be open-minded. Invite the openness, in other words.
Okay.
What happens?
Pardon?
What happens, as I suggest, to just be open to the idea?
Well, I have a certain resistance because I find it hard to believe that that can be true.
Right, right. So that's the so there you see the belief. Right?
Well, probably there's quite a lot of years of experience as
yes,
well.
Yes,
so it's not more than a belief.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's history there.
And usually it takes two to tango, so there's someone else as
that's
well.
That's also true. But maybe there's more to this.
Yeah. No doubt.
Okay. Thank you. Eric, huh? Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So I think we need to stop for tonight. I want to remind you all of the silence that will be there from tomorrow morning on when we wake up. Is that right? Wake up and then the meditation that's starting here at 8. So it's all silent morning, coming here, meditation, silent breakfast. And then we will all meet here again after breakfast, 9:30. Also, I wanted to remind people who haven't ticked off their names of the session list to please do that, so that the teachers know that you have seen when you have the session. That's it. Okay, I'll ring the bell, and then after, as it stops, we will move out in silence.